Hi, you guys. It's Key, soon to be your favorite voice, and this is With Love the Podcast. And I have Debbie Deb joining me today. Debbie, you can go ahead and plug yourself in how you see fit.
Hi, guys. My name is Deborah. My first name is Olumoriwa for all my fellow Africans watching. Even if you're not African, go ahead. That's my first name. I'm honored to be here on my Homegirls podcast to talk about some very insightful topics. So stay tuned.
Yes. Thanks, Debbie, for taking the time to actually do this. We've been trying to do this, what, since like summertime? Is when I first asked you?
I think like the thought was in our head years ago.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
The fruition process was definitely like an invisible battle. So mm-hmm. Now that I'm glad.
Yeah, I'm glad too. It finally lined up. And it was cool because literally you texted me this week, like a couple mm-hmm. days ago, saying like, are you available to record for this topic? Mm-hmm. A couple days before that, I was talking mm-hmm. to like my mom, I was talking to Chai, and I was like, I'm gonna record, I'm gonna have something posted by this Friday. I'm sticking to it. I even like bet money on it. Like if I don't do it, y'all, I owe y'all this amount of money. So I would have to stick to it. And then you texted me a few days after that. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna really sit down and record this. Cause obviously it's meant to be recorded.
Yes.
So, let's just hop right into it, the topic. So I don't know if you remember what we said we were gonna talk about or not, but the topic is being the nice one or people pleasing, not or, but and people pleasing.
Yes.
Right. And you had made a post. I actually screenshotted it and everything because I was like, I need to put this up somewhere in my house.
Oh my god.
Yeah, because it was like when you posted it, which was like a few months ago. Looks like it was back in August. Mm-hmm. Right before I saw the post, it was at a time where I was really, I won't say I was struggling with the idea of being the nice one, but I was definitely considering how much energy and effort mm-hmm. over the years I've put into being nice, like mm-hmm. to everybody, and everybody thinking that I'm nice, and that really being a form of people pleasing. So mm-hmm. when you made your post, I was like, oh man, this is like, this has my name written all over it, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So since nobody knows exactly what you posted, I'm gonna let you explain.
I'll go ahead and read it because I feel like the full element yes. is gonna, it'll help mm-hmm. someone the way it
helps. Perfect.
So I said, do you remember the memories you were gifted as a child? I'm blessed. I'm blessed because there's a certain part of my soul that holds on to the stream of consciousness I had as young as 2 years old. Unfortunately, they put me in speech therapy because I simply wouldn't speak. They thought I was different and unfixable. This went on for years, but it was as if I knew there was a power in the words that I spoke, and I should only use them whenever there was impending need. After all, a weapon like your tongue should only be detonated with true intent. Society will teach you and sometimes even coerce you to communication with others as a form of niceness. Niceness is defined as having an agreeable manner, but I've come to realize that there's nothing agreeable in ideologies of many people when it comes to my existence in this world. My enemy, which is social programming, are program ideologies that are assorted once an individual chooses to agree with the mass. Being nice, in a sense, is stupid, literally. Its origin is from Middle English, in the sense stupid, from Old French, from Latin, nisus, ignorant, and from nisire, not know. Mm. The promise of this is not for you to dilute the qualities that make you an inherently genuine person that has chosen love over hate, but to inform you that ignorance is a right only chosen by fools. Lastly, just know that being nice never did anything for anyone trying to be someone in this world. So fuck being nice, be you.
Okay.
Love you. Entertain your dreams like never before. Walk with the sun as the sun beams over your shoulders while observing the expression of others and yourself. Empathize with the meek, for they shall inherit the world and the gift of salvation. And lastly, smell the fucking roses.
Yes! I got a snap for that. Yes. When I tell you, I'm literally going to have that printed up, put up on my wall somewhere as like a daily reminder to forget about being nice, just be yourself, because that's something I have to still to this day like tell myself all the time, like, don't do things just out of like being nice if it goes against, you know, your own desires, you know what I'm saying?
So, and I think like sorry to cut you off, I think that a lot of that stems from childhood trauma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm about to graduate in my major psychology. I know that you graduated with a psychology degree, which makes us almost one in the same mentally. Yes. And with that understanding, like, I feel like a lot of us, especially at this age, are coming into a new awareness, a new, mm-hmm. new sense of who we are, and fail to understand that some of the issues that we have, especially when it comes to pleasing other people, mm-hmm. comes from the fear of rejection. Fear that, you know, if you don't do it this way or the way that they want, they're going to reject us as a whole. And it's very painful. It's very painful to hear that I don't love you or I don't want you, because that's how it comes off. Mm-hmm. So we force ourselves to, you know, become whoever, like, whoever we are in their mind. You know, they've already built up an idea
mm-hmm.
of us, you know, and that's not necessarily, you know, true to our destiny or our desires. It's painful to continue to do things that is not right for you until you finally just click out of it and you realize, hey, I have been doing what's been best for me. I haven't been elevating myself spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically. I haven't been surrounding myself with people that are transparent,
mm-hmm.
and I can be transparent with them, you know, even if I'm not being nice. You know, I'm allowed to say no and it not come off as, you know, oh, she's just being bougie, da da da. Mm-hmm. And that's how it's gonna come off when she starts saying no.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, taking back your power and taking back your peace and realizing that there probably are people using you because of how nice you are.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna realize that when you set those boundaries, there's gonna be some people who do not desire you as an individual any longer. And the key to that, I've learned, is to let them go.
Yeah, really, though. And I 100% agree with you when you say, like, people will take advantage of, like, you being nice. Like, something my mom has always told me, like, growing up and even to this day, is just people do take niceness for weakness. That's just naturally. Like, when people meet somebody that's just, like, super nice, super genuine, has nothing but pure intentions, if their intentions aren't the same, or even unintentionally, they may not even have like any malice towards you, but because it's like, oh, I know she will do this when I ask her, I'm gonna go to her because she's gonna tell me yes. I have no hesitation about asking her to jump through hoops because I know she'll do it, and she'll do it happily. And you know, that's what I had to like really focus in on, because at first, like you said, mm-hmm. coming out of like college this year has been a like revelation of like who I am, like outside of school. Because it's like when you're in school, you're focused solely like on school, everything that has to do with school, your work and all of that. You really have little time to think about anything outside of that. So now that I'm not in school and I have all this time and I'm actually starting to get into, you know, the field of psychology, working in that field, I have so much more time on my hands that a lot of time it's idle time where I'm just doing a lot of overthinking. And much of that thinking is like, who am I? Like, aside of my successes, aside of the material things that I've obtained, the side of the superficial things, when you strip all of that away, like, who am I? And I came to realize that, wow, you really do be trying to like please everybody around you. Like, you will exhaust yourself all the way out, spread yourself so thin to make sure everybody else around you is happy, even if that goes against like your own well-being, whether that be mentally, emotionally, or physically, or even spiritually, right? Yes. So then I'm like, well, where does that come from? Like, why do I do that? And like you said, it can stem back from like childhood. But I'm still trying to understand, like, well, where in my childhood did that, like, start building up my need to please the people that are around me?
I think that another conversation, like, another intersectional conversation that should be especially for us as Black women mm-hmm. is the fact that, you know, there over the years, there's been a saying, angry Black woman, like mm-hmm. you're angry Black woman all of a sudden because, you know, you're taking a stand for yourself or you have the ability to say no. But I mean, if you look at patriarchy, if you look at history, we have always been the lowest of the totem pole when mm-hmm. it came to power. Like, we have always been considered the least, and we've never had a voice, and we've never been able to speak up for ourselves. And if you look at that in Black or African households as a Black woman, you know, sometimes our voices are virtually taken away from us whenever we want to express ourselves. You know, we're labeled as having an attitude, mm-hmm. labeled as being difficult, labeled as not necessarily being someone that is a pleasure to be around. Mm-hmm. And I think that, like, this is a day and age to kind of break that stigma because, you know, I don't want to go around telling my daughter, oh, well, be nice to that adult or respect that adult or mm-hmm. be kind or know your place or be quiet. Nah, speak your mind. Just do it respectfully.
Yes.
You know, like, say exactly what you have to say. Use a voice that God gave you to explain yourself in a manner where it'll still come across as assertive, but not disrespectful. You know, hold mm-hmm. it with grace.
Right.
But I just know me personally, I grew up in a household where, you know, and I feel like it's almost because of my own parents' childhood trauma as well.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times my voice was shut down, you mm-hmm. know, it was completely shut down. I wasn't able to have a say or say what I wanted to say or speak my mind. The only time I would really get positive attention was when I would like do things to help my family because I'm the oldest of four. So
mm-hmm.
actions became my love language for people because it was something that people needed but didn't necessarily like want, but it had to be there. And I mm-hmm. always saw solutions and things, so I always acted on things, and I never valued taking credit for stuff. I would just do them in mm-hmm. hopes that, you know, my recognition would be love. You know, I just mm-hmm. wanted to be loved.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard now growing up because if you want something, you must be able to be a communicator. You must be able to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine not being able to communicate for years and years and years about how you feel or what you want because you've never been given the opportunity to do so. So yeah. Now as an adult, it's hard for you to speak in those romantic relationships or maybe even platonic relationships, or you have a fear of approaching someone because if you come to them with a list of demands or set boundaries or how you are as a person
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't fit what they want, they're gonna leave, as they should. And there should be no fear in someone leaving because all they're doing is cementing a mindset that you should be with someone who takes advantage of your kindness. And that's right. Not the case. You should be with someone who loves you for you.
Right. Oh my gosh, that is literally so true. And it's like, if they're gonna leave, or, you know, anyone has problems with you communicating what it is that you need or need reciprocated, then that's the person you should let leave anyway. Like you said, whether it's a romantic relationship, in friendships, in your family, like, whatever the case, you should always be able to, you know, say, I don't like that, or say, no, I'm not down for that. And there be like a mutual enough respect where they're like, okay, you know what, like, I consider, you know, I consider how you feel about whatever it is that you're saying no to.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, people will, you know, take advantage of you probably saying yes or agreeing to them being agreeable for so long that when it is time that you say no, they're like, oh, that's not why I'm your friend, or that's not why I was with you. I was with you because you were easygoing and you were down for whatever.
It's like,
so question, when it comes to that, how do you feel, or even if you've experienced it, where those closest to you are used to you, you know, being the yes man pretty much, and then you start changing and you start getting more comfortable with communicating your demands and saying no, and they react in the way that you feared before, as far as like they start separating from you?
Well, that's, it's so funny that like you mentioned that, because I feel like I'm going through a situation right now with someone who I feel like has like, I don't want to make excuses for this person, but I definitely feel as though in certain aspects they probably have taken advantage of my kindness and only hit me up when it's necessarily beneficial to them. And, you know, a part of me wanted to kind of just be, you know, petulant with the communication, block them, don't talk to them, you know, but this is someone that I've been communicating with for a while. So I think in instances like that, it's very important to, one, find your voice, because it's never too late to set boundaries with anyone in your life,
right?
Whether it be your parents, siblings, friends, family, romantic partners, bosses, anyone. It's never too late to set a boundary, and it's also important to say how you feel. So, you know, if someone suddenly finds that you're changing, you know, change in a healthy manner that will promote good communication skills for the next relationship or friendship that you're going to be a part of. Go ahead and say, hey, you know, I don't like the way you make me feel. And at the end of the day, I think that sometimes I benefit you more than you benefit me. I feel like it's a bit unbalanced. I care for you, obviously, but something's going to have to change, or else I'm moving different. And if you don't like that, then oh well. And if they get upset, let them get upset. Because what I've realized is, even when you set boundaries with your best friend, she or he might catch an attitude, but guess what? They're going to change. If they really love you, they're going to change. If they really care for you, they will change. And boundaries are a sign of healthy relationships, not toxic ones. And if someone has a huge problem with you saying no and communicating with them in a healthy way and saying, I'm good off that, let them go. That's probably the best thing you can do. Feel that pain of letting the person go and let them go and know that better days are coming, because you don't deserve to be treated like less than, or
just any type of way,
and you know, be objectified for whoever, you know, be like, you know, it's just not worth it. Experience the pain that comes with it so you know that it shouldn't happen again. You know, and with that being said, that's really what I can, that's what I can think of, at least.
And just keep in mind that not everybody's going to accept your boundaries, and they don't have to. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't be mad at somebody for not, you know, wanting to be a part of what you got going on, or want to accept your no's. They are, they have every right to walk away from that. But that's just something you'll have to get used to. That even goes into, like, outside of personal relationships, work relationships, your career path. You may want a certain pay, you may want certain benefits, you may want to have a certain schedule, be in a certain work environment that a job is not going to offer you, and they're going to say, I don't have that to give you. Now, it's your decision to say, okay, well, then I'm going to settle for what you can give me, right? And that's totally on you to do that. Or, you know what, I'm going to move forward and find something else that can provide me with what I'm asking for.
Exactly. Take up space.
Yeah.
Space. Be okay with saying, hey, look, I have the qualifications for this. I know I'm going to get the job done, you know, and I'm going to keep up bringing Black women, because that's my representation. That's who I am, and Black men too. We're severely underpaid for a lot of the things that we should be well paid for, even in high earning industries, even in medical and IT, Black people or minorities are severely underpaid, because we've always been taught, oh, you know, that's good. You know, we haven't been taught the value of money. We haven't been taught the value of a lot of necessities that we need in order to get over generational curses. So yeah, it's not just for us. At the end of the day, I think a more important factor is the fact that we are going to possibly be bringing in people in this world who should have a say.
Mm-hmm.
And how are we going to, you know, embody that idea of an individual who gets what they want when we don't do things to get what we want, when we don't speak up for ourselves and we don't say, you know, hey, this isn't what I asked for. Because I guarantee you, if you say, well, appreciate you for reaching out to me for this job opportunity, unfortunately the amount that you're offering is not desirable enough for my skills that I'm offering,
right?
That's it.
Exactly. Because
guess what somebody won't do, another person will.
Okay. Yes. And I can definitely attest for that, because that exact thing has happened with me within the last few months when it came down to, you know, getting into the job that I'm working and being offered, you know, opportunities. And it was a battle of, okay, I'm just ready to start, you know, I'm ready to start making some traction along my career path, but I don't want to rush into just any old job or any opportunity because, you know, I'm impatient. So I had to reject some of the offers and wait a little bit longer for the right opportunity to come along. But the right opportunity did come along with exactly what I wanted, like the work environments, you know, the benefits of working there all around. The pay is exactly what I needed. But had I settled, you know what I'm saying, just because I was in a rush to get into it, I would have been unhappy. You know what I'm saying? So that can also be the same for your friendships and your romantic relationships. Is you're so impatient and you feel so lonely and you just want people to be around you and you want people to praise you and validate your actions, that you're just giving in to what they want regardless of it going against who you are at the core, instead of just letting people be who they are, separating yourself from that. Because if somebody is not going to respect you first, regardless of what you can and cannot do for them or what you bring to them, if people can't respect you, you need to just love yourself enough to let them go and wait on the right people to come around. Okay, then leave and just wait on the right people to come around, or start to focus in on the right people you already have close to you that you're not even, you know, recognizing as much as you probably should, like your family, for instance, or old friends, or, you know, an acquaintance that you just met that's a genuine person and respects you. So
yeah, that's true. And then also, like, I think what has helped me with, like, a lot of, like, heartbreak or just disappointment is focusing in on myself, like, self-love. So I will literally, like, if I start to think a thought of rejection or fear or anything like that, I'll go work out. I'll do push-ups or something like that. I'll take that energy and do something with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I find myself oftentimes being like, well, you know what? If I feel like if no one is really feeling me, I guess I just got to isolate myself. Like, I guess I just got to go pray and meditate and talk to God.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I just got to go on these hikes by myself. I guess I just got to do a lot of things on my own, because eventually someone who sees that light, you know, and really value it, and it's going to take time for them to probably approach you. They're probably going to be a little scared.
Mm-hmm.
Probably going to be a little scared to be inside of your world, because they must think that you're, you know, finding yourself, which in truth you are.
Absolutely.
But you're going to start to see that the people who belong in your life, when you are, like, finding yourself, they're going to gravitate to you so naturally.
Yeah.
Like, so naturally. You're not going to have to, like, beg or want for anything, you know? And I think that's just the best thing that you could do, is like find a hobby, take up something that you've always wanted to do, and do it. Because, man, like,
time ain't stopping. Like, just do it now.
Yes, literally, because, like, we have so much free will and our minds are so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, our minds are so powerful. And whenever we give in energy to the needs and the wants of others who aren't necessarily benefiting us, who have no genuine true love for us, who see us as easy come ups, or who just, you know, like us because they feel as though we have an agreeable nature, prove them wrong. Like, why not? Mm-hmm. Like, go ahead, prove them wrong. Do you for a couple months or a year or 10 or forever. And, you know, those people always check back in. They always spin the block. They always come back around to see if you're doing better without them, if you're doing better in general. And you will be, like, lived all your life without them unless you think that you can't
move forward. Right.
Right.
That's true. And I mean, like, even with that, like, setting boundaries doesn't always have to mean people are going to, you know, leave your life. I mean, if you're around a lot of people that are, you know, intentionally or unintentionally taking advantage of you being the nice one or you being kind, then yes, then a lot of people will, you know, kind of gravitate away from you. But the people that have maybe taken advantage of that here and there, with no malice, again, unintentionally, but they love you, you know what I'm saying? You can still set boundaries and they will respect those boundaries eventually. It may take time for them to get used to it. Like, oh, I'm so used to coming to you and you saying yes to whatever I ask you for. And then you start saying no. It may take them back, you know, may take them aback at first. But over time, because they love you, if they do genuinely love you, they will get used to it and they will respect you for it. And then the friendship, the romantic relationship, the relationship with your family, whomever it is, will end up getting stronger. And I've actually had, you know, I've had that happen where it's like people closest to me or that I love, you know, get used to these new boundaries and our relationship actually flourishes. Yeah, because I mean, people are going to change. So people are going to have new boundaries down the line or new things that they accept and don't accept down the line. And if it's like a genuine relationship, it'll grow with that instead of just fade away. If it fades away like that, then that's God telling you this person wasn't supposed to be around you anyway. Yeah. Or maybe they are just for a season, or I placed them here so that I could teach you something. But now you need to move forward. You don't need to, like, beg them to stay.
Mm-hmm. That is true. And then I was just thinking, like, I've had situations where I've recognized that I probably was being used. Mm-hmm. And so my instinct was, like, to cut off that person, mm-hmm. or to, you know, maybe leave them on red or whatever. But I really want to emphasize mm-hmm. That it takes a lot of courage to be able to finally stand up and say, hey, that's not what I like.
Yeah.
It's easy to some people, but it takes a lot to an individual who has gone a majority of their life being kind of agreeable.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important to note that, like, God is going to keep sending you opportunities to speak up for yourself. He's going to keep sending you opportunities to get hurt.
Yeah.
He's going to keep sending you opportunities for you to see your worth and value yourself, because how is he supposed to, you know, put you on a certain position,
mm-hmm.
you know, influence a large amount of people, or maybe even just your family, because being a mom or a dad is also a position. How is he going to put you on that position if
you don't know how to communicate?
Exactly. Like, even Jesus wasn't agreeable. Right. You know, he went to church one time and tore everything up and said, I don't like this.
Okay, right. So
they were selling things in the church. But, you know, I just think it's important to maintain grounded and really just know who you are. And even if you don't know the right words to say in any given moment, don't freeze, mm-hmm. and don't go away, because that's a fight or flight response. Don't do that. You know, say something, even if it's, I don't like that, or mm-hmm. even if it's no, say it.
Yeah, no. Simple as that. Just, no, I can't do that. I won't do that. I can't accept that. I won't accept that.
Mm-hmm.
Without fear of what response you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
That is, yeah, I love that message, Debbie, as far as like, don't run away from communicating. Yes. Communicate, because you have to learn how to communicate if you are going to, you know, elevate further in your life. Like you said, whether that's, you know, just having a family one day, you need to be able to communicate with your family effectively so that they can go into the world doing the same thing and being strong and respected first before being liked.
Because look, anybody could like you, but they don't gotta like you for the good reasons.
Okay, exactly.
It's better for them to hate you but respect you at the same time. Like, there's no point if an individual doesn't respect you, because at any moment they can go from not liking you to hating you and hating you and not respecting you as well. So
yeah,
get the respect that you can.
A double whammy. Debbie, so I'm gonna let you've been giving all these listeners messages this entire time, like great, amazing messages. Even me myself, like, I'm like, whew, that was a word. Okay, Debbie. But what message do you want to leave for anyone that's tuning in? Like a final message. It could be anything. It could be related to the topic. It could just be something that's on your heart, like whatever.
So I was just talking to my brother yesterday, and I was on FaceTime with him because, you know, it's Thanksgiving. I wasn't able to be with him. But I was also with a dear friend of mine, and she was kind of, you know, upset about some things going on in her life. And I asked him for advice, and he gave it to me. He was like, basically, seek God first. He has all the hidden knowledge that you need in order to make your life better, you know? And there's a lot of things that money can buy, but money can't buy peace of mind. Can't buy true happiness. So, you know, when you are seeking God, you're also seeking yourself. You feel me? You're also, you know, resonating with your soul. You're finding who you really are, your spiritual nature, your spiritual side. So definitely that, and love yourself and say no. It's okay.
Everything
will be okay if you say no. It's not a
destiny. Y'all heard her, right? Seek God, love yourself, and say no. Say no. It's okay. Debbie, I feel like it was absolutely meant for us to do this tonight, like more than any other time, because you're saying everything that I need to hear. You guys, we will definitely be having Debbie back, like when time aligns again. Debbie, did you put your Instagram on here, your socials?
Well, go ahead and follow me on IG. I'll spell it out because it is long. OLUMUREWAA. And so that's my IG. You need any advice, you know, hit me up. I'm full of, like, I don't want to say wisdom, but I'm full of, you know, advice, because I feel like I've been through a lot of stuff, so I could definitely help you.
Yeah, sure. And yeah, don't let her be modest. She is full of wisdom, day-to-day wisdom, okay? I know Debbie personally. If you don't know, me and Debbie met in like 2015, 2016 in college.
Ooh.
Yeah, some time ago. And we've had plenty of conversations like this, and I'm just happy that we finally decided to actually record it, and it's, like you said, came to fruition for us to do so. And again, I hope you definitely got something out of it. If you're tuned in, thank you again for doing so. Thank you for listening. Come back for more, and I'll catch up with you next time on With Love the Podcast.